Welcome to the Connect Community Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. We're so glad to have you with us today. If you're ever in our area, come see us in person. We hope today's message inspires you and helps you live better.
Hey, we're going to continue our series today with part two of Blessed. I'm going to get right into it. And today's message title, if you're taking notes, is Don't Waste Your Winter. Don't waste your winter if you're taking notes. This word blessed, just as a recap, means to be exceedingly happy. It means to be joyful. That's why the version that we read says, all the joys of those who do not walk in step with the wicked. All the joys is a better translation, or I would say a more clear translation of the word blessed. But really, in the most translations, the word that starts that psalm is the word blessed. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. And we wanted to focus on that word, and we're going through the entire psalm, but we wanted to title this series with that word because I think it's significant. We think it's significant to understand that is God's desire for us to live happy, to have joy in our hearts. And not circumstantial happiness, not happiness that comes and goes according to the weather or the mood, but that internal sense of joy that remains with you even when you're going through challenges in life. So if you look around the room today, you will see people from all walks of life. And I love that about our church. We have people from all walks of life. You have people from Connecticut, people from New York, people from other places in the United States. We have people from Latin America. We have people from the Caribbean islands. We have people from Africa, from Europe. We have people from Norwalk. All the way from Norwalk. We have different backgrounds. We have different stories, different experiences, but we also have a lot in common. In fact, I believe there's one thing that we all have in common, every single one of us here, no matter how old, no matter how young, every single one of us here want to bear good fruit. You want your life to bear good fruit. That's why you're here. And it doesn't matter if you're Christian or not. This is a reality for all of us. You want the fruit of your life to count. You want the output of your life to matter, to be significant. You want your talents to shine. We all want our talents to shine. I've never met anyone in my life who wants their life to be insignificant. I've met people who think their lives are insignificant. I've met people who believe that they are insignificant. But I've never met anyone who wants to be insignificant. In fact, when people think they are insignificant, they feel terrible about themselves. They don't feel like, oh, that's the normal thing. They feel depressed. They feel like, man, I'm supposed to be significant, to have a significant impact in life. And when you talk about significance, when you talk about meaning, we all connect that to growth because we understand that at some fundamental level, significance depends on development. You want your talents to grow. You want some part of your life to be developed to such an extent that is impacting the world in a positive way, either at work or family or in the neighborhood or to even a larger scale. So significance has to do with development. And I think that when it comes to significance or development, the systems of the world have left us lacking. Because it's difficult for the world to provide the solution. We have a very cookie-cutter approach to growth and development, don't we? It goes almost like this. We've grown as a society toward this model where you grow up, you're raising a family, you get an education, then you get a good job, then you make money, you produce, then you start a family, and you keep doing that, and you close the cycle so that your children can continue to do that. Now, I don't want to minimize those things. Those things are important. I don't want to minimize the importance and significance of every one of those things. Getting an education is important. It's significant. I'm a proponent of the idea that we should always pursue knowledge. Knowledge is something important to pursue. A good job, having a good occupation is significant. It makes you productive. It makes you a contributor. And contributors are what makes a society move forward. Contributors are the makers and leaders of a society. And a desire to contribute is a good thing. The very famous quote by John F. Kennedy, "Do not ask what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country," really resonates to all of us. Because it's really about contributing. It's a better way of life. To make money is important. Now, the love of money is the root of all evil. Scripture says the love of money can rotten your heart and your soul. But if you have a healthy approach to building wealth, that's important. It's important for you to grow your wealth in a healthy way so that you're not just living from paycheck to paycheck, but it brings you satisfaction when you know that what you're producing is not only blessing you, but it's blessing generations to come. That you're going to leave your children better off than you started. That's good. Having someone to love for the rest of your life is also very significant. Starting a family is important. And for that person, it's always going to be the most significant thing in their lives. Now, I understand some people are called to be single. Some people are meant to be single. That's how their lives are supposed to be. And that's a blessing too. That's okay. But if you are like me, those of us who have a spouse, who have kids, there's nothing in this world that will matter more than your family. Even if you get it wrong, at the end of your life, you will realize that's the most important thing in this world. So we have not arrived at a bad place. Those things are not bad. They are good. They're significant things. But here's the problem. You can pursue all that and still lack integrity. You can pursue all that and still lack character. You can pursue all that and still be bound to depression, bound to anxiety. You can pursue those things. And a good education, a family. You can pursue a career and still feel trapped, still feel lonely, still feel disconnected. You can pursue all those things and still have rage in your heart. You still have things in your heart that make you feel terrible. You can make a lot of money and still be a cheat the whole time. You can raise a beautiful family and still hate yourself. Feel like you're not adequate. In other words, you can have the veneer of success according to what the world prescribes as a successful life. You can check all the boxes, live the ideal life on the outside, and still not become the person who you are meant to be. And I want you to pay attention to the scripture that we've been confessing every single Sunday, because it's significant. And we're about to read the same scripture in a different version. And especially if you're a young person in the room, if you're in high school, college, you're just starting out, I want you to pay attention to this, because if you get the order of the things right, if you get the order right, the fundamental things right, everything else will follow and fall into place. It's really important. Let's go to the scripture. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 from the NIV version. It says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers." How great. The person who delights in the Lord, it's like a tree planted. It's like a tree that is planted. It's important to understand the picture that the scripture is painting for every single one of us here. It's a picture that we all can understand. No matter how young, no matter how old, the person who delights in the Lord, it's like a tree that's planted. What we learn in this third verse of this scripture is that the first thing that leads to a flourishing life happens beneath the surface. It happens beneath what you can see with the naked eye. The person who is blessed, the person who is exceedingly happy, the person who has joy in their heart is the person who is planted. See, it matters that you're planted. It matters that you have your roots in the ground because it being planted allows for longevity. You can't be established unless you're planted. You can't grow to the fullest unless you are planted. See, I remember when we bought our first house ever, Alini and I, and we were part of the housing crisis of 2008. You're welcome. We didn't cause it, but we were part of it. We were one of those people that got some of those loans that we didn't know they were dubious because that all happened on the background. But we figured out that it was way too easy. We got a house and only had to sign about 3 or 4 papers. You know, all the hassle that you go through now, none of that. I don't think they even checked our bank account. We put no money down. We walked away with the keys to a 3-bedroom home with 2 bathrooms, a garden tub, a his and hers walk-in closet, 2-car garage, double-sided fireplace that you don't use in Texas for a whopping $118,000. Yes, God bless America. God bless America. I was a sales associate at a local store, and when I shared the news with one of my coworkers, he said, "Man, it seems like everybody's buying a house these days." And I told him, "Well, we were able to buy one with no money down. Why don't you try it? You know, you should go and try it. It's the interest rate is a little bit high, but it still beats paying rent." Now, one of the motivations for us is that we were paying $1,100 in rent on a 2-bedroom apartment, and our mortgage was going to come out to be $1,200. An extra $100 a month is worth paying a mortgage over rent. And he said, no, as long as I'm with this person, and then he mentioned his wife's name, I will never own a home. She wants to be able to pick up and go whenever. She's just one of those people that she wants to be able to go if she wants to move west or east. She wants to be able to go whenever and it's just the way it is, so we'll never own. And that was shocking to me because I've always been the kind of person who looked forward to putting down roots. I always thought that was ubiquitous to every family, that putting down roots was a good thing. And hearing him talk about how, no, we don't want roots. We think that's not the best approach. See, some people are addicted to novelty because they are afraid that their life will become mundane if they're not always picking up something new. They're always trying to move on things and change things and always looking for something new, always starting something new, always having a new idea, always looking for a new hobby, 1,000 hobbies. And it's all right to have new experiences. It's all right to pursue and explore new horizons. It's all right to reach to new heights and learn new things, but not if it's going to keep your roots from growing. Not if it's going to keep you from being established. If you're always uprooting yourself and moving yourself elsewhere in different areas of your life, that is a too high a cost for this anxiety-driven necessity to avoid the mundane, the fear of the mundane, because that's really what it is. It's not the mundane itself, but it's the fear of it. So being planted is important. if you're going to be established. The second thing that we notice in the scripture is that it matters where you are planted. The person who is blessed, the person who is exceedingly happy, the person who has joy is the person who is planted by the streams of water, is what we learn in this passage. Having your relationships with God, having our relationship with God be our delight, having the truth of God be the source and object of your meditation, what occupies your mind daily, will cause you to be as full of life as a tree planted by the streams of water. That's a beautiful picture. See, it's not just that you're planted. It's not just that you're committed. It's not just that you're faithful and steadfast. It's that you're planted in a healthy soil. That makes a difference. Just like in a tree, your life's fruit is only going to be good as its root. It's important to know where your roots are planted. And what the psalm is calling our attention to is, you want to be happy. You want to be joyful. You want to reach out to new heights. Then you got to stop comparing your fruit to somebody else's fruit. And start paying attention to your root. It's important to pay attention to that. Stop giving your ear to people who are not living right just because it seems like they have the fruit that you want. That happens a lot. Stop trying to look at people for success, comparing your fruit, hoping that your fruit will match what they call success. What the scripture is telling us, sometimes we are too preoccupied with the fruit. And the lesson is, if your root is healthy, your whole life will be healthy. If what's beneath the surface is healthy, then everything else will flourish. So how do you produce healthy roots? Well, first, you got to be planted. And second, you have to know where you're planted. You got to be planted in good soil. You know, we're fortunate to live in a region where each season is well-defined. Each season we get to really experience. So right now, it's beginning of spring, and if you drive around our neighborhoods, you will see plants and bushes and trees that are starting to come to life again. And it's so beautiful. I've never experienced that until I moved to Connecticut, because in Texas, we don't have trees that flower. And here, you have these beautiful trees that flower. And they're coming out now of this place of dormancy, this period of dormancy. Dormancy is that period where trees lose their leaves during the winter and they stop producing. Now, when a tree is dormant, there's little apparent difference between a dormant tree and a dead tree. When you look at both of them, they both look very similar. There's no fruit. There are no leaves on both of them. There's no apparent sign of life. What happens to a tree in its dormancy stage is that the tree has recognized that there are some challenges in the environment. The environment is not conducive for fruit bearing. The environment is not conducive for it to be sprouting with life. So because the environment is too harsh to produce anything, the tree goes into conservation mode. It pulls back its resources until circumstances improve. And some of you feel like that right now. I feel like some of you are going through a season right now where you feel like you're supposed to be lush and green. You're supposed to be bursting with life and producing good fruit. But no matter what you try to do, all you seem to be getting is coldness. All you seem to be feeling is the coldness of winter. Your soul feels cold. You want to feel love. You want to feel the progress of life. You want peace. You want to be in your sweet spot. You want so much to produce. But if you feel like the environment is just not conducive, you look outwardly and you want to see outwardly the desire that you have on the inside, but it's just not happening, and you feel like there are too many things beyond your control. And so you come to a place like this, or you get into a room in your house and you pray. And you pray for sun. You pray for warmth. You pray that the winter in your life may end. You pray that God may bring His light and His warmth, because you don't want to be in this situation anymore. You want the conditions to change. You're wondering, why is this winter in your life lasting so long? Why is it taking so long for it to be over? And I want to call your attention and ask you to switch your focus this morning. To forget the display. Forget the outward appearance. Forget what the world demands and imposes on you as the appearance of something successful. Release your heart from those things. Release your soul from that. I want to encourage you today to pay attention to what's happening beneath the surface, or what should happen beneath the surface. See, if you look at a dormant tree, you may think it's as good as dead, but that's not what's happening. While nothing is happening on the surface, on the outside, that tree is growing stronger. The tree's roots are digging deeper. During dormancy, the tree is hardening its cells. The tree is figuring out how to reallocate its resources so that it can grow stronger in the next season. It's the same for you. I want to ask you today to not waste your winter. If you're in the winter right now, in the winter season, it's time to grow your roots. It's time to grow your roots deeper. Know that your summer is coming. The sun will shine again. God will bring His light again. He will bring His light again in your life. In due season, you will see the warmth of God's sun again. But you will only grow as full in the summer to the degree that you are strong in winter. So let me encourage you today, because too many people fail to recognize their present season. They feel like a failure because the sun is not shining. They're wondering, why is it not visible to them? Why there's no fruit in their lives? They look around and they see other people in the sun. They're lush. They're bearing fruit. Why am I not bearing fruit? Why am I in winter when somebody else is in summer? They feel like something is wrong with them. Friends, you can't control the sun in life, quote unquote. You can't control the season that you're going through, but you can control where you're planted. You can control where your roots are planted. And my prayer for you today, as your pastor, is the same prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians for his church. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19 say this: "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the height, and what is the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Yes. Friends, the best soil for you to flourish is the soil of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The best soil for you to flourish is the good news of Jesus. When you choose to be planted in God, you are choosing to be planted in His love. When you choose to be planted in God's house, you are choosing to comprehend with all the saints, as Scripture says, everyone around you, the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of God's love for you. That's what you're doing. And we've had people in this church who have gone through long winters, and they did exactly what I'm telling you to do. They planted themselves in God's house. They planted themselves in godly community. They planted themselves in God's word. What were they doing? They were nourishing their souls. They were growing their roots. When it looked like nothing was happening, they were planting themselves in God's presence. The bank account was empty. The paycheck wasn't changing, but they were growing their roots in God. They were hoping for a breakthrough in their marriage. Things were difficult, but they remained unmovable, planted in God. They were unemployed, looking for work, fighting disease in their family, trying to overcome addiction, a destructive habit, but they didn't give up during winter. They focused on their roots. So let me encourage you today, don't waste your winter. You might be lacking fruit in your branches, but let your roots reach out to the living water. Let your roots reach out to the life of God. Let God nourish your soul and your spirit beneath the surface. While things are gray and cold on the outside, let your roots grow in worship. Let your roots grow in prayer. Let your roots grow in faith. Let your roots grow in service. Let your roots grow in generosity. Let your roots grow in prophecy. Let your roots grow in prayer. Let your roots grow in mercy and in kindness. Let your roots grow and don't waste your winter. Let your roots grow until the sun of righteousness begins to shine again in your life, because he will. It is God's desire that you bear good fruit. But everything has a purpose, and every season has a purpose. If you live through winter, forgetting about your roots, only focusing on the fruit, when the time comes for you to bear fruit, your systems will be weak and you won't be able to handle it. You know, I was thinking about this passage in Ephesians about the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of God. And I feel like God gave me this picture. And I begin to imagine each one of us as a tree planted. But not any ordinary tree that we see that grow. Some of our tall trees grow up to 50 feet high, right? I imagine 40, 50, maybe 60. That's my estimation anyways. But imagine that your life, your talents, your abilities, you don't just grow to 50 feet. I see you growing a mile high, 2 miles high as a mountain, as high as Mount Kilimanjaro, just with your branches spreading as wide as the great state of Connecticut. You know, if you're of that size, if God's future for your life is of that level of significance, you might think, man, I have to be planted in like a state park. But to be planted in God's love is not like being planted at a state park. It's not like being planted at a city. It's like being planted on planet Earth. Because it's as majestic as that 1 mile tall tree may seem, it does not compare with the size of God's love. Friends, his love is immense. Your roots can grow as deep as it can go, as wide as it can go, and you will not begin to tap into the fullness of his love. He loves you so much. He loves you so, so much. It matters that you're planted. It matters that you are faithful. It matters that you are consistent. It matters that you show up day in and day out. It matters that you remain. It matters that you're not swayed by the ways of the world, that you're not swayed by the trends of the world. It matters that you're consistent and steadfast. And it matters where you're planted, that your soul is able to connect to God Almighty, that your roots are established in a community of believers, that your roots can reach out to the living water, so that you can discover with all the saints, as scripture says, the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of God's love for you, which is infinite. That's when you begin to bear much fruit. And I want to encourage you today, because you might be bearing fruit right now. And if that's the case, amazing. But I want to remind you, if you are bearing fruit right now, don't get focused on the fruit. The fruit belongs to God. The fruit is His. Be mindful of the root. Be mindful of what's happening beneath the surface. Because what happens sometimes is we get too focused on the fruit. We forget about the root. And then we lose our ways. And then we have to start all over again. Let me encourage you today. Keep your focus on the root. And if you don't feel like you're producing fruit, I remind you, don't waste your winter. This is the time for you to grow your roots, to grow in God, because God is for you. And I believe that this is the year you will prosper. I believe this is the year you will prosper in every single area of your life. This is the year where God is going to take you beyond your limits and beyond your limitations. Some things that you have feared for your whole life, God is going to take you beyond that. And it'll happen as you grow your roots deep in God's presence. And I believe and declare in Jesus' name that this will be your year of victory. Do you receive it this morning? Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you have a prayer request, a question about faith, or would like to find out more information, visit us at connectcommunity.org. Don't forget to subscribe and share. See you next time.